This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Frida Liu. You're listening to Resource Center. It's Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. From building the brand to a given opportunity to run the company for Southeast Malaysia, I have here with me today Cheryl Lee, who will share with us her journey with Southeast. Welcome, Cheryl. Maybe we can start off with the in the beginning. How do you get into Southeast in the first place?
Okay. Upon graduation, I was roped into this business. And since young, I've always been interested in the world of beauty and also fashion. So at the age of 23, you know, I was roped into this organization, and which is also the Southeast Group. And I intentionally seek them out because I've heard great reviews about the products, about the culture of the organization, their brand values, etc. So at that stage, I was roped in to launch a brand, a sister brand of Southeast, mm-hmm. and that's how it all got started.
Okay, so you were, so it's basically the only company you work for.
Yeah, literally, yes.
So
yeah.
When you said you were attracted to the culture of the organization, because you sought them out, what was it about the culture of the organization from even then?
Okay, because I saw that the owners of the organization places a lot of value on relationship building. Because Southeast is available, currently present in more than 120 countries. Mm. And when they appoint subsidiaries, you know, and also distributors worldwide, you can see that, you know, the relationship between the brand owners and also their business partners have lasted for, you know, probably currently is at second or third generation. So that was something that attracted me. And apart from that, it was also because of the brand value in terms of product integrity. They spend a lot of, their budgets on R&D, to ensure that they deliver, products that provides, effective and sustainable results. So that's something that I strongly believe in, because I do believe that, if you're going to be attached to an organization, then, you've got to be true to yourself. Yeah, so that's why, I was very attracted. So I intentionally seek them out.
Okay, so if you talk about Southeast, the parent company, how long has Southeast been around?
Southeast, we will be celebrating our 70th year anniversary this year.
Okay, so that's 70 years globally.
Yes, globally.
So how did you end up co-owning the company, from an employee to where you are now? How did that opportunity come about?
Okay, I think when we started, all right, the brand was actually rather in a mess. So we had to clean up, a lot of the groundwork in terms of, bringing new strategies, business strategies, distribution strategies, etc. So I guess I started from the ground level up, and anything that's thrown at me, I'll just do it. From marketing to training to sales to business development to everything. Yeah. And I guess, like I said, I've been very passionate about this business. So whatever comes, for survival then, that was like 20 over years ago. You just do whatever it takes to build, the company, and the people alongside you. And along the way, I probably, I believe that, because of the dedication and also the commitment. So that was how it all got started. And, it was just over, I think, less than 10 years, I was roped in as one of the partners and also shareholder. Yeah.
Okay, so it's been over 10 years now that you've done that, right?
Yeah.
Now, how do you, when you look at 10, how do you ensure that the brand stay relevant in the face of so many more competitors now, and, with I guess, also huge budgets? How do you stay relevant?
I think, one of the things that, like I said, that Southeast always stays relevant as a brand is because we invest a lot in R&D. So it is very important that on a annual basis, Southeast launches many new product lines. And innovation and also scientific breakthrough is at the forefront of the brand. So apart from that, we also keep our fingers, on the pulse, the pulse on what is happening in the industry, understanding the consumer's needs and the consumer's want. But at the end of the day, we have to marry the two. That means understanding that, and applying the insights to brand strategies. But at the same time, we need to deliver results. So what, our consumers look for on a constant basis is always results, all right? So, and so far, we have been able to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Mm. So, having been working with this company, how do you stay relevant and current, growing with the company?
Okay. We already, for Southeast Malaysia at least, We have already mapped out our BHAG for the next 3 to 5 years. Mm. So it's very clear that, you know, there is a clear focus in terms of where we want to take the brand, future, in terms of the various business models that, you know, we would like to bring to the market. So, like, for example, recently we have just launched over the last 1.5 year, we have restructured the brand, you know, and we have launched a new business model, which is actually the licensed business partners. Mm. So that creates the brand presence. And okay. also the brand's visibility in the market. Mm. So working very closely with our business partners over all these years, you know, many of them have been with the brand for like more than 10, 15 years. And creating this new business strategy, right, keeps us very focused, you know, in terms of where we want to take the brand. And in fact, we like to take it, you know, probably to a level of 6 times our current, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's a very clear focus of where we want to be.
Okay. So I know your go-to-market strategy is via salons, right? So you say licensed business partners. Is that the same thing? Is that the same thing? Because when you say licensed business partners, is that the same thing as working with salons? Because that's my understanding.
Yes. Because the licensed partners are salons that we work with. These are all independent owners. They're appointed licensees. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
So you're looking at increasing the numbers?
Yes. Currently, at current moment, there are about 50 licensed partners and 7 flagships that are managed by Sotheby's Malaysia. Right. And we hope to increase that to probably within the next 2-3 years to probably about 100 over throughout the whole of Malaysia.
Okay. How do you go about doing that, finding the right partners to work with you?
Usually it's through word of mouth and referrals because we would like to work with partners that are really passionate also about the beauty industry. And most of the time we spend on building the business together with our existing business partners. Mm. So currently they could be operating 1 or 2, but that's where we grow.
I see.
The unit. So for example, you know, they could be owning 2, but in the next couple of years, they probably could own a chain of 3 to 4.
Right.
So with that, you know, we foresee that we'll be able to achieve the numbers within the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay, so it's not just about finding new ones, but growing the existing ones so that they also grow and...
Correct. The way we see it is that probably a good 70 to 80% of the outlets, you know, would actually be an expansion from the existing distribution channel. Yeah.
Okay.
Distribution outlets. Yeah.
So your leadership and management style, we'll talk a little bit more about that after this. I'm here with Cheryl Lee from Sotheby's. You're listening to Resource Centre, BFM 89.9. This is Resource Centre. Good afternoon. I'm Frida Liu. In case you've just joined us, this is Her Vantage, where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm with Cheryl Lee from Sotheby's Malaysia. We're talking a little bit earlier on about the history of Sotheby's, how she started with the company and how the company's evolved and the plans for the future. Now, you know, so you talk about licensed business partners that you work with, right? And do you feel that you need... So these are your go-to-market strategy where you work with them. Do you feel that you need to change the distribution channels maybe? Or is that not the strategy of Sotheby's? It's always about working with business partners / salons and increasing the numbers. Do you feel that that is the best strategy?
Well, that's one of the strategy. There are also other new business models and strategies in the pipeline. This year itself, we are planning to launch probably by the second half of the year. A new retail strategy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that's
too early
to
share.
Yes,
that's
in the pipeline. Yes.
Okay, it's like it's read your mind.
And of course, there's a third business model in the pipeline as well.
Okay, so that it doesn't conflict with your existing licensed business partners, but
we'll be working very closely with them. Yeah, they are also very much in the picture. Yes.
Okay.
As we continue to expand this, you know, the brand Sotheby's, they are very much in the picture with us.
Okay, so do you feel that, you know, everybody's saying 2016 is going to be a tough year and all that, you're not going to choose to believe that? You believe that people will always spend money to look good?
Well, I believe that, like I said, you know, we have to be true to ourselves.
Yeah.
And I would say that Sotheby's has garnered a very strong brand following. Mm. And I believe and I hope to believe that that's because, you know, of the service, you know, that we have and also the results that we have delivered. And of course, there are, we could, you know, we're already starting to see some form of tightening of the belt. Mm. But yet, you know, the client base have always stayed strong.
Mm.
Yeah. And we hope to continue to build on that. Yeah.
Okay. Mm. Now, your personal leadership and management style, what would you say would be your style?
Okay. Okay. I would say moving forward.
Okay. Moving forward.
Moving forward.
always growing.
Yeah, moving forward, yes. I hope to work very closely with my internal team, you know. And that's through a lot of empowerment and also coaching, right? And but fundamentally, we see that it has really got to do with building, relationship building. It's not just about learning, development, building capacity, etc. But it is truly, really about building relationships with our people. And building relationships means spending a lot of time, you know, with them. And we also believe that, we truly believe that, you know, people are the biggest assets of any organization. And through that, you know, understanding, through a good understanding of one another, you know, we believe that we'll be able to grow together. You know, and also that's also one of our retention strategies,
yeah.
You know, because really it's nothing like, you know, coming to work, spending, you know, 8 to 10 hours of your time. And, you know, you see your colleagues sometimes, most of the time, even more, you know, than your family members. So it has to be a place that, you know, that it's this trust culture and, you know, you feel very comfortable coming to work and, you know, people around you are supportive, you know, and they understand you, not just understanding you, you know, in a work environment, and many a times also knowing you, you know, knowing what's happening, you know, at home, you know, in your family, and that's how we create a strong bond and also a family culture within the SOTIS organization, and that's also part of our core value as well. You know, we like to see that SOTIS Malaysia is truly a place where you can call home. You know. Yeah.
Okay. So, in terms of attracting talent to join you at the moment, what are some of your strategies? And of course, once you've attracted them, retaining them, what are some of the things that you do?
Well, a good more than 50% of our workforce are actually the skincare solution specialists, are frontliners. And it is because of this culture, you know, and of course, apart from the other, you know, benefits, perks, etc., we do get a lot of referrals, word of mouth. Because when our people are very happy working within the organisation...
or if they're not, they will talk about it.
That's right, that's right. So we do get a lot of referrals. And that's one of our... that's where we really get our pool of our employees.
And when they come in, what do you do anything differently in terms to retain them? What is the career path? I mean, is that very clear? Is that one of the keys to retention?
Yes, learning and development is really one of our key focus. Mm. So if we are looking at our skincare solution specialists, right, on an ongoing basis, we have set up a SOTIS Beauty Academy, you know, and on an ongoing basis, they have to, you know, achieve a certain number of X hours of training and then going through, you know, refreshment, you know, refresher courses, etc. And on an annual basis, they would have to, you know, undergo assessment. All right. So this would be conducted by our education department. And in order for them to earn the golden badge, right? So if they fail, then they will have to resit until, you know, they... But usually the failure, you know, the percentage is very low, like it's probably one or two. And they have to resit within the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
So this is an annual assessment. And that is how we keep them, you know, really, really keep them on their toes. Keep them on their toes. And that's also how we ensure that we are able to, you know, continue to deliver the standard of service and excellence to our client as well.
Right.
Yeah, so that's how we and apart from, of course, you know, technical skills, there are also other leadership soft skills, you know, training, you know, courses that are programs that are made available through this Beauty Academy.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, in your years at SOTIS, right, what have been some of the biggest challenges in managing the company and how did you overcome them? Maybe you can tell us a story or one tough situation and how you overcame them.
Okay, we have really experienced, I think, 2 to 3 economic crisis and also, you know, downturns.
And currency exchanges.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I would say that what has kept us, you know, going and really staying afloat is I must really say that I really need to thank my team. Everything goes back again to really the strong team that we have built, you know, over the years. And they just stay with you, you know, they just stay with you. Of course, when times were bad, we need to manage some of the operating costs, etc. We need to, but all these years, we have never taken a stand to, you know, cut salaries or whatever. And I really believe that it's through the team that we have and the strong team that we have built and the relationships that we have built. So they just stay on with you, you know, and to see it through. And during times when times are bad, that's where we need to, you know, be even more vigilant to ensure that we stay focused and stay really focused and relook at all the various business strategies, you know, marketing strategies, product strategies, everything that, you know, that needs to, you know, continue to fortress ahead. So the team, you know, worked very closely together over all these years. And that's how we were able to ride through the storm. Yeah.
So it's also, I guess, at the same time, obviously having to be very transparent with the team.
Yes.
I mean, they know it's tough times. They know it's good times. I mean, to just lay it out there so that we're all seen as working together.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like I've mentioned earlier, it's really the trust culture that we have built. Yeah, because they know that whatever it is, through tough times, we stick together. Through good times, that's where we
celebrate together.
Together and we saw together. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So how do you personally sharpen your saw? Is it exercise? Is it, you know, what do you personally do to, you know, to stay fresh with this whole, with the company?
Well, I learned a lot. Actually, I've been learning a lot, peer-to-peer learning from other entrepreneurs. So I enjoy, you know, the time spent with other entrepreneurs, you know, learning from their struggles, their challenges, their successes. And I realized that that's really, truly very interesting to gain insights into, you know, their journey, their business journey, or even their life journey. Because you are speaking to real people and they have experienced, you know, all these challenges or even, you know, struggles and successes for themselves. And apart from that, you know, I spend, you know, daily, on a daily basis, I spend some time, you know, reading articles, you know, business articles, business reviews, etc. And of course, to keep myself fit, you know, and mentally fit, on a very regular basis, on a weekly basis, I do quite a bit of exercise.
Okay.
I swim quite a bit.
Okay.
In fact, I've been going to the gym very regularly. And what I used to do is, you know, in my younger days, I used to swim every weekend, 1 hour nonstop.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was like 10 years ago. But recently, I've got back into that momentum, you know, of, keeping fit through exercising. Yes.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So thanks for being with us. I've been speaking to Cheryl Lee, listening to the Sodis Malaysia story right here on Resource Centre, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.